what you say. That you only meant well, well, of course you did. What you say. That it's all for the best, of course it is. What you say. That you only meant well, well, of course you did. What you say. What did she say?
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Thank you. Good morning. Come on, party people. Are y'all awake in here this morning? Anybody excited about God this morning? There we go. There we go. So I'm so glad to be here with you all this morning. I said in first service that it's always special when I have an opportunity to speak at Destiny. You know, every now and then I'll go and I'll speak for somebody else for another purpose, but when I'm here at home, it's special. It's special. It's like you've cooked up a meal and you want it to be perfect for your family, right? You want your family to eat. You want your family to eat well. Now, I know that some of y'all are picky eaters. I have one. His name's Kanan, and all he likes to eat is chicken. That's it. No vegetables, no bread, just chicken. Preferably McDonald's chicken nuggets. That's like his favorite thing. No Burger King because he calls those gross. But I want to ask you, even if you are a picky eater this morning, I believe God has something that he's prepared specially for all of us. So let's eat well, amen? Let's eat well. Yeah, I still remember the first time I stepped inside of Destiny. I had on a full suit and tie. And such love was shown from the time that I walked in to the time that I came in that I remember calling after that service and telling my wife, because she was still back in Mississippi. I said, babe, this is it. This is our place. And she said, don't you want to go check out some more places? I said, nope. Nope, nope, nope. How many of y'all are thankful for Pastors Mel and Gene and their leadership and vision? There we go. I'll tell you what, if you could sit down and talk with them for any length of time, the way that they would encourage you to go after God, to seek after the dreams of God, it would encourage you. So we're thankful for you guys. We are so thankful for you. Thank you for all you do for this body, for this community. So, Destiny Church, how about this series, The Power of Words? How about that? Has anybody gotten anything out of it? To follow up Changing Your Sound, which is honestly one of my all-time favorite series that I've heard since I've been here at Destiny, and to follow it up with The Power of Words, that's like, man, that's like punching. It's like two left hooks, the right hook, left hook. It's God is doing something amazing through these series, and I hope that your hearts are open. Sometimes it's easy to disregard a message that hits us a little bit too close to home, but I hope that you're not doing that. I hope that you're taking notes. I hope that you're, you know, going back, refreshing the message over the course of the week, meditating on it, because I really believe that God is challenging us, that we can do more, that we can go deeper, that we can encourage others, and we can encourage ourselves, that there are things that we're dealing with in our lives, that if we would change our sound, and if we would recognize the power in our words, things in our lives will change. And I think God is, he's really challenging us, Destiny Church, to grow this season of hope. Y'all, there's hope. There's hope. You can overcome the things that are plaguing you in life. You can overcome the challenges that you face. But it all starts with changing your sound and then recognizing the power of your word. I tell you what, I have loved this because if I'm honest with you, I have extreme challenges with my words. Don't get it twisted, y'all. I'm standing up here talking about this morning, but I have issues with my words. I can use negative words like nobody's business. I can allow fear to become anxiety. Don't you hate when you do that? You look out at something and you get, oh gosh, I could think of every single way that it can go wrong. And then that this anxiety complex begins to build up and then you go into the situation and it works out just fine. And God's like, I told you. And you're like, so what am I supposed to do with that? But we've given such energy to the negative things in our lives. And I do that. I mean, I'm standing up here talking to you about something that God has talked to me up and down about for years, and it's become so real to me. I've really started to begin to take control over what I speak, and I've begun to notice changes in my life as a result. And I remember this week, Carissa Hayner did a Facebook Live talking about anxiety and the power that we have over it through our words. And it just resonated so strongly with so many people. And I tuned in and saw it. And I said, yes, God, I know I'm in the right place. I know that this morning is going to be powerful. So I'm just so excited about it. So I want to go ahead and get started this morning. The topic of our message this morning is speak out. Look at your neighbor and say, speak out. You can't just think it. You can't just meditate on it. You've got to speak it out. You've got to speak it out. So here's what I want you to know, first of all. The same creative power, the same manifesting power that God used when he created everything that we see around us, that same power is present on the inside of us. It's there. If we have the Spirit of God inside of us, then we too have that same creative power, that same creative aspect in us. But the thing that we tend to miss is that it is dependent upon the words that we use to speak out. No matter what we speak, it's going to create something. Something good, something bad. But rest assured that everything that we say has some type of a power to create some kind of reality. Is it going to create a godly reality? Or is it going to be an ungodly reality? And the truth is, you know, I have been guilty of it as well. I have used my words to create an impossible situation for me to get out of. And I have no doubt some of you have too. And so that's why I'm glad that we're all here this morning, because I believe God's going to release some things to us. We miss the overcoming life because we use underwhelming words. We miss the conquering life because we speak defeated words. We never see who God created us to be. We never become who God has created us to be because we've allowed people to place names on us and to speak words over us that we would rather accept than to pursue really what God has called us, who God has called us to be. I don't know. Maybe some of you don't do this, but, you know, I wake up in the morning. Sometimes I look in the mirror like, oh, I shouldn't have had that extra piece of cake last night, or I had too many crescent rolls because those things are just way too good. Praise God. Or you look at another part of your form and you're like, oh, girl, honey, child, you need to work on that. Got that gym membership that you ain't using. You're like, I know, I know. But we all say such horrible things about ourselves. And I think it breaks the heart of God because we say these things and I can hear God shouting from heaven, it's not true. But we get so caught up in the words that we speak that we never take the time to listen to what God is telling us. That is the truth about ourselves. But when God speaks, things have to happen. Things change. God speaks, nothing can stay the same. When his voice goes out, things change. We sing the song, So Will I, by Hillsong. And this song details, like, intimately, just all the things that happened when God speaks. And when he speaks, 100 billion galaxies are born. Or when he speaks, 100 billion creatures catch their breath. When God speaks, something happens. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now we know this. God produced light out of darkness. But I want to submit something for you to think about. Okay? And it's this point right here. God doesn't speak about the darkness. God speaks out into the darkness. It said, and God said, let there be light. Now, there was darkness. There was darkness. And see what we do? We see that darkness and we talk about that darkness. I call up Pastor Mike. Pastor Mike, let me tell you about that darkness. I call up Pastor Jeff. Pastor Jeff, let me talk to you about my darkness, man. Let me talk to you about my emptiness and my troubles. And if they won't listen, I'll find somebody else, because we just love talking about our darkness. But notice, God does not talk about his darkness. He doesn't say, Jesus, it's dark in here. Jesus, you should have brought your nightlight because it's too dark. That's not what God does. God speaks out into the darkness and light bursts forth out of the darkness. What was impenetrable and complete, God pierced it with his words and light came out. God does not speak about the darkness. He speaks out into it because he knows that he can bring something powerful out of the darkness. He doesn't speak about the emptiness. We speak about the emptiness. We look ourselves in the mirror and say, oh, I feel so empty inside. Something's missing. There's something missing in my life. Pastor Gene, there's something missing in my life. I don't know quite what it is, but there's something missing. But God speaks out into that emptiness and said, you have a destiny. You have a future. You have a hope. God spoke into the emptiness of Sarah's womb and said, Isaac, come forth. Sarah, a woman who was beyond the years of age to be able to have a child. Abraham was beyond the years of age. I mean, they didn't have the medicine that we have right now. But out of nothing, out of emptiness, God looked into that and said, oh, I see something. I see something. When is the last time you saw something in your darkness? When's the last time you saw something, but some potential inside of the emptiness, and you've spoken out to it and caused it to come forth? But that's what God did. God looks out into our sin and he sees redemption and he sees forgiveness and he says, okay, I see your sin, but listen, go and sin no more. I'm pulling purpose out of you. I'm pulling blessing out of you. You are highly favored by me. I've equipped you to accomplish a goal. You're not here by accident. You're not accidental. I don't care how you got here. You're here for a purpose, to establish my kingdom. But God, all I see is darkness. It's so dark, God. It's so dark. But God speaks about the darkness. He speaks out into it because he sees that there's something in there that needs to come out. I remember in Ezekiel, God took Ezekiel to this valley. And Ezekiel is standing here looking over this entire valley of dry bones that were, I mean, they were dry, they were emaciated, they were probably brittle. Like if you touched them, they probably would have crumbled into dust in their hands. The remains of what had been life. Now he stared out into a valley where there was nothing but death. There was decay. There was deterioration. And God said, Elijah, I want you to prophesy to the winds. I want you to tell the winds to come forth. And essentially what God was telling Elijah, bring forth the breath. And so as Elijah prophesied and then these mighty men were formed, and then God's breath came through and breathed life back into them, and they stood there and they were ready to fight. Out of death, out of decay, God brought life. God brings light out of darkness. He brings life out of death. I don't know what dark things you're dealing with right now. I don't know what dead things you're dealing with in your life right now. But I promise you, if you will listen to what God is saying to you, God wants to bring life from the dead things. And he wants to bring light from the dark things. You have to speak out. You have to take the responsibility for the words that come out of your mouth. And you have to speak out. We have this power in our possession that is more powerful than an atomic bomb or any nuclear weapon. It's so powerful. But we never take the time to truly learn how to use it. I want you to imagine with me that you've gone to Walmart or wherever you get your guns from, and you get you a gun, the gun you've always wanted. Maybe it's a Red Ryder BB gun. I don't know, okay? Tis the season. But you get that gun home, you put it in your gun safe. Man, this world is going downhill. I want to have something. I want to be strapped up to protect my family. I mean, you get the holster and everything. You're ready. You're ready for Armageddon. You're just ready for it. You're ready for the purge. Okay? Now, you have that gun in the safe under your bed. You sleep that night. Boom! You hear somebody break your door down. You get up, you open your safe, you get your gun, you creep around the corner, you find the thief right there. You pull your gun. You're going to scare him. He's going to go away. Here's a problem. Your gun is pointed the wrong way. You have the safety still on. You never got your sights fixed, so that's off. Essentially, you don't even know how to pull the trigger on this thing. No bullets are in it. There's nothing. Because you never stopped to take a gun safety course, nor did you ever stop to read the manual to find out how to use the gun. I mean, it's as simple as looking up a YouTube video, but you didn't even do that. So you were looking at this criminal, pointing a gun at them that's facing the wrong way. It's not ready to fire. And even if it was, you don't have anything in there, in the clip, to fire anything at all. Now, the criminal would probably look at you with utter confusion on his or her face. I've never come across someone who pulled a gun on me and pointed it the wrong way and really didn't look like they knew how to use a gun at all. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take everything you have. I'm going to take your gun. I'm going to hit you over the head with it. And when you wake up, Merry Christmas. Y'all, we laugh. We laugh. But how many times? How many times do we grab this book? How many times do we grab this book and we know that Satan is coming against us? And we would rather throw the book at Satan rather than open up the book and speak the word. How many times do we know stuff is going on, but instead of pulling out our phones and opening up the Bible app to try to get some word to throw it out there, we just wither. We sit in a corner. We pull our knees up to our chest and we rock back and forth. Jesus, save me. Oh, God, save me. And God is like, you have the weapon. You've got it. It's right there. It's right there ready for you to use. We have a powerful weapon, but we don't take the time to learn how to use it. And so when Satan comes against us, because the Bible says that he will, he is the great accuser of the brethren. When Satan comes against us, we want to do everything but speak the word. We want to call our pastors and say, pastors, will you pray for us? We want to call our friends and family and say, hey, can you help me through this? Instead of taking the word into authority and speaking what God has already spoken. Y'all, there's power in the word. Even though Satan might know the word better than you do, when you speak the word at him through faith, believing what God has already promised, he cannot stand in the presence of that. It's the power of the word. And we have that power. We have that power to speak the word into our situations, to speak the word against Satan, to speak the word against the negative thoughts that tend to come into our minds. And when we speak, things have to happen. In James chapter 3, verse 2, it says, anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. So you want to be perfect? Watch what you say. And then he goes on in verses 5 and 6 and says, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. The tongue. It's a mighty weapon. And you're either going to use it to establish a reality that is kingdom centered, or you're going to let it set fire to your whole life. That's what the word says. You're either going to use it to speak the word of God, or you're going to let it run the way that it wants to run and set, I mean, and just burn down your whole life. How are you going to use your words? Have you ever thought about the fact, like, what do you say when you're not thinking about what you say? For instance, you're tired. It's the end of the day. The kids are driving you crazy because they're hungry. Y'all just got home. It's like 7, 8 o'clock at night. The kids' bedtime is at 8:30. You've got to come up with something quick. They're hungry. You're irritable. And so your kids are getting on your nerves, y'all. They're just getting on your nerves. What do you say in that moment? I'm so sick of y'all. I wish you just leave. Just give me a second of peace. Just go somewhere. Go to your room. Just go to bed. Have a bowl of cereal. I can't deal with this right now. I'm not the only one who's been there. I know y'all have. I know you have. To have such a powerful weapon at our disposal, we use it so carelessly. We say everything under the sun except what God tells us to say. I wish y'all would go somewhere. Leave me alone. Really? Really? What if those words became a reality? Huh? Oh, I can't stand that person. They just get on my nerves so bad. They just need to go somewhere. I could be so much better if my world, if they were not even in my world. Oh, really? Okay. So you're setting their reality. Okay. See, sometimes we get to church and we are purposeful about our language, right? We got that Christianese down. Man, I'm just saying, how you doing, Pastor Tom? Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. We speak in tongues. We sing so loud, everything. But as soon as we get out of the building into the parking lot, sometimes in the hallway, in the foyer, before we get to the parking lot, we're already talking about somebody we can't stand. Somebody had their hands up too high. I couldn't see anything during praise and worship. Somebody always comes down to the front and kneels down. They came with the same issue. They shouldn't have that same issue. Who made you the authority? We use our tongues in a way to curse people instead of bless people. And the Bible says that should not be so. You can't serve two masters, neither can your tongue. If you give your tongue over to Satan, he will set a fire. And I'm not talking about the song that we sing in church. You will not be able to put that out. And it will have far-reaching consequences, not just today, but over the rest of your life. What we say counts. Things happen. In Proverbs 18:21, it says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You can speak life or you can speak death. The words that God speaks brings life and light. But when we speak anything other than what God has spoken, we speak words that bring death and darkness. I want to give you, real quickly, four types of words that we should never use. Complaining, criticism, sarcasm, and gossip. Now, if this were Family Feud to get my information, I'd have you raise your hands and tell me which one you fall under. But we're not going to do that. Complaining. I don't know how to make this any simpler to you. When we complain, we put God on trial. Here's an example. I'm broke. I don't have any money. I don't have money for food, to pay my, you know, light bills, much less to get the kids anything for Christmas. Here we go. God, you said that the cattle on 1,000 hills belong to you, but ain't no cow has come down that hill into my house. You said that you would supply all of my needs according to your riches. Well, I know you rich, but I'm broke, so what am I supposed to do with that? Can I get something? Can you throw me a heavenly penny? Here's the translation. God, you made a promise to me, but you lied. Because I look at my situation, I look at my reality around me, and I cannot see you at work anywhere. So that means that in your word, you lied to me about that promise. So I don't trust you. You take the gavel out of God's hands and you say, boom, God, you're guilty. Or, oh God, you told me that my marriage would be blessed. And here we are. Things are just so hard right now. We're not even talking to each other. But God, in your word, you said, he who findeth the wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor from God. Well, God, I don't know what kind of favor this is, because things around me in my household is not working. Translation. God, you told me my marriage would be blessed. You lied. Gavel. Boom. Guilty. Who are we to judge God? And when we use our language to complain, we are refusing to see the good things that God has done in our lives. Because I promise, in every single ounce of darkness that we find in our lives, there is light just waiting to come out. In every ounce of emptiness that we come across in our lives, there is something of fulfillment that is willing to come out. We just have to be willing to speak out into it. Criticism. These famous two words, constructive criticism, right? How many of you have ever received constructive criticism before? Yep. Mm-hmm. Now, at its heart, constructive criticism is meant to build a person up. But we tend to use our criticism to tear people down. I mean, we criticize the White House, we criticize the outhouse, we criticize the church house and everybody inside of it because we think that we have the freedom to say what we want about whoever we have to say it about, and nobody can check me because I have a God-given right to say what I want to say. As a citizen of the United States, yes, you do have a right to freedom of speech. But I would submit to you that as a citizen of heaven, you don't. By the accords of the United States, I can say what I want to, and I'm free to reap the product of whatever I say. But by the law of heaven, the grace of heaven, I do not have a right to rip somebody up one side and down the other in the name of trying to help them out. PG needs to let me preach because I can probably preach that better than he can. I can get something out of it. Oh, okay. Or the first lady won't let me sing my song on Sunday morning. Maybe I'm not in the right place. I could probably do a better job of it than she can. Who died and made us Jesus? Critical. For no reason other than because our feelings get hurt or we believe that things should go the other way in our favor. Y'all, that's not our job. Our job is to take what God gives us and to be thankful for it and believe him for better. But being critical and tearing down people around us is a direct stand against unity. Jesus prayed to God. And John, he said, God, Father, I pray that they would be one with you as we are one. When we are critical of one another, we destroy bridges. We tear them down. Because whether what I say gets back to anybody else, I don't look at that person the same. My relationship from my end is ruined. I've allowed my tongue to set fire to that situation. And y'all, that's not right. Sarcasm. Now, as an eighth grade teacher, I have a PhD in sarcasm. Because, I mean, that's what the kids speak, you know. And I'm blaming it on the kids, but I've always had a sarcastic tongue. But so a kid will come at me with something sarcastic, I'll laugh, and then I'll cut them right back. And so when I say God, like, hit me with this so hard, it literally took my breath away. He told me that when you use sarcasm, what you're doing is you are masking the truth about how you feel in a deceitful way. We throw a LOL on there if it's on Facebook, or we throw a ha 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 ha, or we throw a blah ha 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 behind it. I love blah ha ha. But we say something that we really mean to be the truth. Like, I don't like you. Oh, you don't smell so good. But we're saying a truth that is hurtful to someone else. And we're trying to make it humorous so that they don't feel the sting or they look completely over it. Y'all, at some point, they think about what you said. And yes, it hurts. It hurts. And so I'm sitting there thinking about what I say in my classroom. And God hits me like, so if I've placed you as charge over them in this classroom to speak and encourage them, to deal hope to them, but you are responding to them in a sarcastic fashion, what type of seeds are you sowing in their lives? But sarcasm is the language of the day. Like almost all the best movies, the comedy movies have so much sarcasm in it, and we sit and we laugh about it. But think about that time when someone was sarcastic with you or they told you the truth about how they felt about you and you didn't realize what they said until you thought about it later on. What does that produce in your life? Feelings of discouragement. You feel like, oh my gosh, is that really how they feel? Probably. So we shouldn't specialize in sarcasm. And then there's gossip. Gossip, gossip, gossip. Y'all, we don't have a right to every ounce of information on the face of the earth. We don't have a right to take information that we've been given in private and spread it along our prayer chains. A Devo that I saw this week said that Christians are some of the worst about gossip, and we mask it by saying, I just need all the information so that I can pray the right way. I just need all the right information so I can tell my ladies group or my men's group about sister so-and-so who's dealing with all this stuff, or brother so-and-so who's dealing with all this stuff in their lives. And Jesus just needs me. Like my gifting is praying specific prayers to Jesus. Jesus needs me to lay the whole file folder out there into the heavens for him, because Jesus doesn't know what I know. You know somebody like that. Maybe you are that person. But that's not all right. My mom grew up telling me that the shortest prayer in the Bible was Jesus wept. So if God can understand that, don't you think that it's okay for me just to say, hey, Jesus, Pastor Jeff, I don't know what's going on in his life, but God, I feel like he needs a touch from you. He needs something from you. So I don't know what to pray for. I don't need to know, because you know. So just Pastor Jeff, amen. And then just leave it in his hands. Why do we have to read from a holy scroll before Jesus Christ? Did you create him? No, so you don't know the root. And honestly, y'all, gossip can do way more harm, immeasurably more harm. Because you have set your tongue on fire, and you have passed that fire to let it burn in the life of somebody else. Because when it gets back to them that you're the person who told that you weren't supposed to tell. Oh, talk about the need for reconciliation. So we shouldn't be complaining. We shouldn't be criticizing unless you're looking to encourage someone. And there's a difference there. We shouldn't be sarcastic, and we should abstain from gossip. Because here's a fact. We can always tell where someone is from based on the language that they use. If I'm in a room with someone who's from France, even though they may have been in the States for years and have gotten their English just right, there will always be certain tales about the way that they pronounce something. And I love those tales because it shows me how diverse we all are. But you know that there's something, they're not really from where I'm from. Or in the United States, everywhere you go, there are so many different dialects and so many different accents that you meet someone, oh, you're not from Missouri. Is that a Texas twang I hear? Yeah. Or is that an Arkansas twang I hear? Or is that a New Yorker kind of accent? Is that where you're from? Yeah, because you can listen to people and you can tell where they're from. You can tell the state or the area or the sector that they're representing. If people were to listen to you, what kingdom would they think you were representing? Where are you from? What hood are you repping? Are you repping for Jesus? I mean, is your language? And I'm not talking about the stuff you say publicly. I'm talking about in your private speech. When there is nobody else around except for you and God, but you think you've placed him on mute and you just loose your tongue flippantly and say everything that you want to say. If someone were to hear that you, where would they think that you were from? Are you representing the kingdom of God in your language? Or are you representing the kingdom of darkness? See, the words we use represent the influences that are prevalent in our lives. And the Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. So I want to give you an equation here. Influences plus thoughts equals words. Influences plus thoughts equal words. Now let's break this down. We live in a world of influences. Everywhere we go, someone is looking to influence us. Something is looking to influence us for some reason. That's why we have to guard our gates, right? We have to make sure that there are certain influences that do not get past our gates and get into our lives. Because when those things get into our gates, we begin to think about them. And our hearts begin to ponder those things. Once we've been influenced and we've started thinking about it, we have no choice but to speak it out. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. See, it's not good enough to come to church on a Sunday morning and to shout and to roll on the floor and to get slain in the spirit 7 times and do a Jericho march. It's not good enough to do that and then leave when Monday through Saturday, you're doing everything but what Jesus wants you to do. Because what happens here? It's fruitful, but it's not the abundance. If everything that you do Monday through Saturday is something else. You won't be able to encourage yourself on a Saturday evening when everything is going wrong because you can't speak out of what you don't have as your abundance. You won't be able to recall what Pastor Gene said on Sunday if you haven't been meditating on it through the whole rest of the week. That's going to fade away because Satan desires to steal those things that you don't think about and use them for other purposes. If your walk with Jesus is not your abundance, if it's not everything, if it's not the only thing, then you are that person with the gun pointed the wrong way, with no bullets in it, trying to defend yourself. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus has to be our abundance. And when God speaks again, things happen. There's always a response when God speaks. Things will change, things will be rearranged, and God's word is able to give hope to the hopelessness. God's word is able, when his voice comes out, when he speaks, he is able to create a good future from a poor past and a poor present. God is able to change things in your life. I don't know what you're dealing with right now. Some of you come into this church during a season of hope and you feel utterly hopeless. You feel like you have nobody, you have nothing. And I'm here to tell you this morning that if you continue to tell yourself that you have nobody and nothing, you don't realize that God is right there. Banging on the windows, banging on the door saying, here I am. I'm right here. I'm right here. And you don't have to see me just because it's Christmas as a baby in a manger. You can see me as a Savior bleeding out on the cross for you. Oh, how I love you. Oh, how I believe in you. Oh, how I have so many plans for you in your life. But you'll never see it if you don't learn how to control your tongue. Because when God speaks, things happen. And y'all, listen, this is not about name it, claim it. That's not something that I necessarily believe in. I don't believe in just saying stuff and just placing the name of Jesus after it and just seeing what sticks on the wall. Oh, I'm going to win the Mega Millions. I need to win. God, I need a Yukon, top of the line. Leather seats, everything. In Jesus' name. This is not name it, claim it, y'all. This is allowing the Holy Spirit to help us control our tongues. Saying that, God, I resolve to give you control of every word that comes out of my mouth. Knowing that we're going to fail sometimes. But when we fail, we have an advocate with God in the person of Jesus Christ who can restore us. We just have to be willing to look at ourselves and see exactly where we are. Now, if our words are so important, because if they weren't important, then this next verse would not be in the Bible. It comes from Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Y'all, this is serious. God ain't playing about this. It's in the Bible. Everything that we say, we're going to have to give an account for. And there won't be any justifications for it. Oh, God, I said it under extreme duress. You know, people at my job, you know, they're not saved, so they just drive me crazy sometimes. God doesn't want to hear the justification. We're going to have to give an account for the words that we use. So the question will be, what have you done with your words? Have you built my kingdom or have you tried to burn it down? Have you built my people or have you tried to burn them down every chance that you get? Have you tried to encourage yourself or have you burnt yourself down every chance you got? I'm not this. I'm not that. I'm not this, y'all. I know it's real. There are times when I do it to myself, but y'all, what I've learned is that when I speak what God has called me, when I call myself by what he wants me to be, everything in my life takes on a greater significance. There was a day this week when I was looking at my students and I felt so discouraged. I was like, God, what am I even doing here? They're not listening. They don't want to engage. They don't want to turn their work in. God, what am I doing? What am I doing? But then I stopped. And I said, God, I remember when I didn't have a job and I wanted to teach. And this school district took a chance on a 31-year-old man who'd never taught before. Thank you, Jesus. When I look at my bank account, oh. But God, you're going to do something special with that. And when you begin to thank God, when you begin to use your words to bless God and to speak out the things that He's promised you, the things that He's blessed you with, everything changes, y'all. I'm just telling you what I know. You can continue speaking against the things of God. You can continue speaking against His goodness for you. Or you can speak out His goodness into the dark things. You can speak out His goodness into the empty things and watch light burst forth and watch life burst forth. Y'all, if you don't mind indulging me, I love Legos. I love them. Legos are so much fun. I grew up, my siblings were all older than I was, so they had their own thing going. So that left me to play with the Legos. And I remember I loved them so much because I could create anything that I wanted to create with Legos. I would create entire worlds and I would script out everything. And, you know, I could spend hours, a whole day just playing with my Legos. Y'all, this morning, our words are like Legos. Let me show you what I mean. I wake up tomorrow morning and I look myself in the mirror, and instead of commenting on how I don't like the way that I look, I just say, God, I thank you that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. That word becomes a brick on which I can build my life. As I continue on my way to work, I'm just thinking, I'm saying, God, I'm so thankful for my job. I'm thankful for my coworkers. They are a never-ending source of support and encouragement for me. God, thank you for placing me where you've placed me. Another brick. I get to work and I'm waiting on my students to get there, and I just say to myself, instead of looking at all the papers that I have to grade, I just say, God, I'm thankful that every day I get to impact the life of a student. It may not be every student, but God, there's one student every day that I get to impact their lives, and I'm thankful for that. Here's another brick. Lunchtime comes and I look at my bank account, and I can't go anywhere to eat, and I forgot to bring my lunch, but I'm like, God, you know exactly what I need. You know what I need. And so if it's not going out for lunch today, maybe there's something in my refrigerator or something in the teacher's lounge, God, because I know that you're going to provide something for me. Here I am building again. I get home and I'm stressed because it's been a stressful day. It's been a good day, but the kids are going wild and Trisha's not home yet, and I have to come up with something to eat. And instead of saying, kids, just leave me alone, just go somewhere, I think about the fact that when each of our babies were born, in each of the circumstances that our babies were born, I couldn't hold back the tears as I thought about this new life that God had given me. I think about how each of our kids has a name that is very special and specific. So if I'm calling Kayla's name, every time I call her, I'm saying, you are a child of faith. You are a child of wisdom. When it's Caleb, I'm saying, you are a child of bravery. You are a gift from God. So every time I call their names, I'm speaking out something over them. And so I'm thankful. More bricks. At the end of the day, when I have a chance to finally lay down with my wife in complete silence and talk about the day, and I begin to bless God, because the Bible says, whosoever findeth the wife findeth a good thing and findeth favor from God. And I want to shout, but I look over and I say, yeah, baby, I love you. And I thank God for you, and I believe in the plan of God for your life. More bricks. See, what this green square represents is life. Every obstacle, every trouble that you find yourself in. But when you begin to apply the word of God and speak out the word of God over your life, you begin to build a way up outside of your obstacles and your circumstances. And so what happens is, as you continue to speak the word of God over your life, your tower gets higher and higher. And then one day you sit out and you look and you see, I wonder how I got through this situation. I wonder how I got over this situation. And you look down below you and you see, by God's grace and by God's mercy and by God ordering my tongue, by me using my tongue to create rather than set fire to everything around me, here I am now, above the obstacles, above the troubles, above the darkness, above the emptiness, by the grace of God, by the words that I speak, God has delivered me. But see, when I use my words in the wrong way, that's what happens. See how I did that? Praise God. When I don't use my words properly, the same words that could be used to build me up and to help me escape the trouble of life begin to dig me a deeper ditch. So instead of me being above my obstacles and trials, I start digging my own grave below it. Y'all, I stand before you this morning knowing that I have issues with my words. But I stand before you this morning knowing that I have to trust God every day of my life so that my words don't harm, that my words don't kill, that my words don't bring darkness, but that my words bring light and life. Lord, that is what God is calling us to do this morning. This is the season, Destiny Church, where we should be out in the community speaking love, speaking light, speaking life. This is the season. This is the time in your life when you should be speaking the word of God over your household, over your job, in your car, when you're on the street, over your lunch. Imagine what the world would look like if we spoke words of light and life and quit allowing our tongues to burn down everything in our pathway. I don't know about you, but I'm ready this morning. Anybody else ready this morning? So this is what I want to do first. Everybody close your eyes. If you're here this morning and you're saying, man, I hear what you're saying about there being power in words. My tongue isn't the best either, but first I want to know more about this Jesus that you keep talking to me about. If you don't know Jesus and you want to, you want him to be your Lord and Savior and to show you how much power there is in the words that you say. How he wants to love you and welcome you into his family and call you his own. With nobody looking but me, would you just hold your hand up in the air for me? Amen. I see you. Amen. This is your time. This is your moment. The Spirit of God is here. If that's you, one more time, just hold your hand up for me. So praise God. What I want you to do, because we had some hands come up and I'm so excited about that, I want you, we're going to repeat this prayer together as a church body. Whether it's your first time or whether you've said it before, we're going to supply faith to those who are raising their hands for the first time. Let's just say, dear Jesus, I love you. Forgive me of my sins. I give my life to you. Make me who you want me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. If you raised your hand this morning, we have a special gift for you back there at the hub. You can go back there and grab it after service is finished. But my next question is for everybody. Who here is willing to raise your hand or stand up and admit that I have an issue with my words? I will raise my hand too. Acknowledgement is the first step. But see, the reason that you come to Destiny Church and we sing all these songs is not because we like them, because they play good or they sound good. It's because Pastors Gene and Mel realized the power in singing the words of God over our lives. So we're going to sing this last worship song, and I want to invite you to come up to the front and worship with us as we sing this last song about who we are in God. You are chosen. You are redeemed. You have a purpose. You're not an accident. You have a destiny. God has a plan for your life. In the Father's house, there is a room for you. In the kingdom of God, there is a place for you. In Destiny Church, there is a place for you. You are gifted. You are talented. Your abilities were given to you by God for the furtherance of His kingdom. Those are the things that you need to remind yourselves of every day. When the enemy comes against you like a flood, tells you that you are worthless, you say, no, 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 no. You stop right there. God chose me. God adopted me. God has predestined good things for my life. And you should get excited about what God wants to do in your life and who God has called you to be. Because you are not ordinary. You are not average. You are an extraordinary son and daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if that doesn't make you excited, I don't know what will. I need someone. Hey!
I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am.
Let me pray for you. Come on, lift up your hands. We are children of the Most High God. God, I thank you that you've called us, that you've chosen us before the foundations of the world. You knew us. You knew who we would be. You saw our destiny. You saw our future. You see our present. And God, it all lines up, God, with what you are creating within us, God. And so I pray, Lord God, that we would learn how to use our tongues, that you would control our words, that we would speak words that lead to light and life and encouragement instead of words that lead to death and decay and darkness and destruction. God, I pray over everyone here, God, that they are walking into their best days yet. They're walking into their best season yet. Out of darkness, you are pulling forth light. Out of sadness, God, you are pulling forth joy. You are speaking it out. So help us to speak it out as well. And we give you glory and honor. We thank you right now for what you're doing. Come on. We give you glory right now for what you're doing. We give you glory right now for what you're doing. Come on. We give you glory right now for what you're doing in our lives. Use your words. There's so much power. We're so glad y'all were here this morning. Don't forget, first Wednesday on Wednesday night. We want you to be in the place. It's going to be awesome. Y'all have a blessed week. We love you. See you later.